Hi, folks. Welcome to this CASA Connection, where we are going to be talking about mental health. I'm Jeff Warren.
I'm Tracy Heisler.
We are here at CASA Shaw, and we are really enjoying doing this podcast, aren't we, Tracy?
We really are. And if you're new to the podcast, CASA Shaw is a nonprofit that the acronym is Court-Appointed Special Advocates of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties. We're a nonprofit that provides volunteer advocates in court for children in the foster care system.
Yeah, it sounds so simple, but you know what? It's not, of course, folks. It's not a simple type of endeavor. During our first episode, we talked about where CASA came from, how it was born in Seattle, how various judges throughout the United States and here in New Jersey have embraced CASA to help foster children, to give them the foundation in order for them to hopefully thrive. We don't want them just to survive, right, Tracy?
That's our motto. We don't want kids to just survive foster care. We want them to thrive.
Exactly. And it's difficult for them to do that, which is why CASA volunteers are so very important to provide that one stable adult in their life. And one of the reasons why it is such a challenge for foster children, Tracy, is because of mental health, because of the type of care, the type of trauma that foster care children go through, not just throughout the court process, not just throughout throughout the many trials and tribulations that they go through being not with their family, but the actual removal itself. The simple act of leaving home is a traumatic experience for children. And I don't think that there are individuals out there, if you are not part of the foster care system or work within it, it's sometimes difficult for individuals to understand that just the simple act of being removed from your home could be one of the most traumatic experiences for a child.
I'm glad that you brought that up, Jeff, because I'll share with you, I had started as a CASA volunteer in Florida back in 1999 and went on staff a few years later. So there was a family that I'd been working with. There were seven children, all had the same dad, five different moms, and I had been advocating for removal.
Yeah.
There were a lot of concerns that I had about the home and about what was happening there. And the judge finally agreed with me and ordered that the kids be removed. So he had asked me to go with the DCPMP caseworker, because the kids knew me and I'd been there for some time. He thought it would be easier. So we went there with law enforcement. The seven kids were being removed. They were absolutely terrified, hysterical. They were crying. The caseworker started crying. I started crying. The father was screaming and yelling. And it was in that moment that the impacts of what I had been asking the court resonated with me for the first time. It sounded like a really easy thing, right?
It sounds easy.
Take these kids out of this shady house to keep them safe.
Right.
But for the kids, they were absolutely traumatized by the removal. And then that trauma was compounded because there were so many, they couldn't remain in the same placement. So they had been split up. They were two, two, and one. And they were completely bereft because despite everything that was going on in that household, the kids all looked out for each other. And not knowing where they were was incredibly difficult, particularly for the older children who were used to being the parents for the little ones.
Yeah.
And they were just terrified for their siblings. Where were they? Were they safe? Were they getting enough to eat?
And what does that do to their mental health? Which then what does that do to their education? Which means what does that do to their physical health? And it's just a cyclical
issue. And there's some research to suggest that children in the foster care system suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder at twice the rate of Gulf War veterans.
Wow.
Now, if you put that into context
of
you're in a war zone, people are shooting at you, bombs are going off over your head, and yet children in our society are suffering at twice the rate of those veterans.
Right.
So what do we do, right?
Exactly. What do we do to address this? Because look, foster care, it's not going away anytime soon. The ills that we have within our society, whether it is drug abuse, substance abuse, you know, alcoholism, just domestic violence, it's just not going to magically go away.
It's not. And so there has to be more support for mental health.
Right.
Now, one of the challenges that we've seen with the pandemic is the deepening mental health crisis.
Absolutely.
For even kids who are in functional families.
Right.
And the demand for the mental health resources is overwhelming. So a lot of people that desperately need a clinician can't find one.
Right.
Because there's no one available.
There are tons of kids on waiting lists.
Yes. And then you have to go through the issue of insurance. Who's going to pay for it? An increasing number of clinicians, by my observation anyway, are no longer taking insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do a private pay or bill your insurance on your own time.
Right.
So we talked in our last episode about poverty and the difficult choices that those resources bring. So what happens to those families that don't have discretionary income for $150 for a 45-minute session for their child?
Exactly. And go back to what we were talking about, pulling yourself up from your by your bootstraps, that old phrase that people use. Yeah, it doesn't work like that all the time, folks. You need the boots, you need the straps in order to be able to pull yourself up. And I think that's one of the important aspects of what we do, not just here at CASA Schwab, but CASA programs in general. We help to direct individuals and help provide them with various resources, which is really important, especially from a mental health standpoint.
Absolutely. And we talk a lot about the mental health for children, but there's also the mental health issues for parents.
Yeah.
If you put yourself in the parent's position, the state has just come in and told you that you were such a terrible parent that they can no longer trust you to keep your own children in your home.
Yeah.
And if your identity is around, I'm a mom, I'm a dad, can you imagine how gutting that is?
Mm-hmm.
That you're told that you're terrible at it and we're taking your kids away.
Exactly.
So we see a lot of depression in our parents, a lot of anxiety, just completely separate from whatever their own trauma was, or maybe it was domestic violence. Maybe there was substance abuse issues. Maybe there was a sexual abuse issue and the parent never got therapy for it.
Right.
And so they're drinking and drugging to deal with their own stuff.
Yeah.
And now to compound it, we've told them that you're horrible and we're going to take your kids.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
So there is a lot more that we need to be doing to support mental health. And there's stuff that even as a listener of this podcast, that you can make a meaningful difference for a parent or a child in your community.
Let's talk about that really quick. What are some of those things that can be done if somebody is listening to this right now, whether or not they're a CASA volunteer or whether or not they're somebody who just found our podcast? What can they do to help children and families who are suffering from, mental health disabilities in our communities?
There are some really simple things, and they're certainly not the be-all, end-all magic fix, but they can help to support and ameliorate some of this for families. It could be as simple as taking over dinner.
Mm.
One less thing that overwhelmed parent
sounds pretty
to deal
simple,
with.
But guess what? Sometimes it's not all that simple, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It could be offering to babysit so that the parent has some time to decompress and get back to a state of normalcy,
right?
Instead of being overwhelmed. It could be just picking up the phone and call and say, "Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Right.
Is everything okay?" And be a listening ear.
Simple steps.
It could be a being the safe house for a child.
Yeah.
Who, the house in the neighborhood where all the neighborhood kids know they can go and be safe.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think one of the things too that we also need to realize when we talk about mental health and foster care, and we kind of talked about it on our previous episode with poverty, is the cyclical and generational aspect of what the specific issue is. Depression just doesn't stop after one generation. Having social phobia, social anxiety, that just doesn't stop perhaps after one generation. There are resiliency issues that children and families need to deal with generation after generation. And it's important that we talk about these type of issues because, and it's not just for foster families too. I mean, it's for your quote, everyday average individual who has to deal with these too. And I think as we progress as a society, we're getting better. We're learning more and then learning how to be able to treat these various mental health issues and disorders which I think is a good thing, but I think we need to embrace it even more within our communities.
So you're touching on an area which I'm so excited to talk about in a future podcast, but there are two points that you touched on that we are going to have a more expansive discussion about in the future. One is resilience, of building resilience, of and for, by definition, my definition of resilience is being faced with a hardship, but being able to come back to a state of normalcy in a relatively quick way, right? Without getting stuck there. And there are strategies to help build resilience. And there's also some evidence that there's a genetic link between resilience.
We've talked about that before.
Some kids just have built in greater opportunities for resilience. Doesn't mean it can't be taught.
Right.
It just may be a higher hill to climb. The second thing that you touched on is a new field of study, which I think is tremendously exciting, called epigenetics, that talks about the traumas that were experienced by your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, can be passed down to you in how your DNA is expressed.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so the anxiety and depression that you feel, it could be the result of things that your parents or your grandparents or your great-grandparents experienced.
Yeah.
And this is a way that they cope.
Yeah.
By being on high alert.
Yes.
All the time. And this is their genetic gift to you. You're welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Where can individuals go to learn more about mental health in foster care or just mental health in general? Like, where would you direct people to get on the internet or within our communities, whatever the case is? Where can we direct individuals listening to this podcast where to go if they want to learn more?
So most counties have a community mental health center. And in the event that you don't have the option of private insurance or have the opportunity to find a private clinician, that's where I would go first. Here in New Jersey, we do have family support centers in each county. We also have crisis mental health centers within our Department of Human Services that can send out somebody immediately to your home if you need it. In other states, so much of the resources are dependent on the investment that the state is making in mental health. We're really fortunate here in New Jersey to be a fairly progressive state with recognitions that, you know, there are vulnerabilities for families. And there's a whole other level of mental health needs for kids who identify as LGBTQ, because we have concerns that are based in personal safety and personal identity, in feeling safe enough and accepted enough to be who you really are.
Right.
And then add into that whatever abuse or neglect's going on in the home and the trauma of being removed into foster care.
So. Exactly. We just celebrated Pride Month, and in our CASA program, I'm very, very proud that we have embraced Pride Month, and not just in the month of June, but here in July and in all months of the year. What we do is we provide information to individuals just to simply educate them on the mental health issues that do go on within the LGBTQ plus community. And I think the more and more we talk about it, the more and more it's going to be better for individuals within that community overall.
For sure. And LGBTQ kids are at a higher risk of abuse or neglect.
Exactly.
And represent, there's one study I saw that almost a third of kids in foster care do or will identify as LGBTQ.
Yeah.
And many times they're here because of family rejection for who they are. And there are special considerations, I think, for preserving the mental health of those kids who are multiply traumatized.
Exactly. We all know of individuals in our lives, whether it's our personal lives, family lives, who are members of the LGBTQ plus community. And I think it's a good thing that not only our CASA program, but other CASA programs within New Jersey and throughout the United States have really, truly embraced wanting to get more information out to the general public about how issues within the LGBTQ plus community affect children in foster care. And it's a really, really good thing. I just wanted to put that out there to folks.
No, and there's one other thing that you reminded me of as you were talking about that I think is a whole nother podcast episode, but just to put out there, so many of the kids in the school to prison pipeline, young people at school who act out, somebody calls a school resource officer, they're taken into custody, sent to the juvenile detention center. We're not getting to the root of what's causing the initial behavior issue. And so we're re-traumatizing already traumatized people.
Yes.
And nearly 70% of kids in the juvenile justice system have high ACEs as children. Mm. And nearly 70% of them have substance abuse issues. And another almost 50% of them have had suicidal ideations. Mm-hmm. So much of the drinking, the drugging, the behavior issues are a result of their traumatic experiences and their inability to process these mental health crises in a healthy way.
Yeah.
And we really need to look at the layering
of
it's not just a simple issue of that's a kid with bipolar disorder.
Right, exactly.
There's so much more texture and depth to that mm-hmm. that we need to talk about to really fundamentally change the conversation and move the needle on providing these supports.
I had a very special person in my life tell me once before, Tracy, that all behavior is purposeful and all non-behavior is purposeful. And I think that's an important phrase that people should really try to understand and think about moving forward, not just within the realm of foster care, but within our lives in general. All behavior is purposeful, and everything that we do comes from a mental health place.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's going to do it for us here for this particular podcast episode, this CASA Connection podcast on mental health. Do you have anything you want to say, Tracy, to close us out here?
Only that if mental health is something that you are struggling with, please don't feel alone. If you...
It's a great point.
If you are having suicidal thoughts, there are... you can just Google suicide.
Yeah.
And there will be... places for you to call to talk with a caring volunteer who is interested in keeping you alive.
Absolutely.
And who wants you to be okay.
Absolutely.
So I know it can feel isolating, particularly with chronic anxiety and depression, and things feel so scary and overwhelming. You don't have to do it all. Just do one thing.
There you go. Great way to end it. If you're new to the CASA Connection podcast, if you found us on whatever podcast platform, please subscribe. Follow us on Apple Podcasts if that's where you found us. We would appreciate you heading over to our Facebook page too. Just search out CASA Shaw, S-H-A-W. And you can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at CASA_Shaw. Give us a follow there. We would greatly appreciate it. It's going to do it for our CASA Connection this week. Stay tuned for our next one. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye, guys. Have a great day.